Welcome to the Her Vibe is Pretty podcast, where you'll be guided on how to step up into your evolved woman,
design your dream life, and start living it.
Let's get vibey. What's up, Pretty Vibe Tribe? Welcome back to this extra special episode of the Her Vibe is Pretty podcast. We are stoked to share this episode with you guys. Mary and I interviewed Jess and Corey, known as the Healing Couple, and it was the best episode ever. So you guys know a little bit about Jess and Corey just because they were my mentors when it came to being certified as a breathwork facilitator. So I did an entire episode on the breathwork teacher training that I did with them. I did another episode on just like breathwork in general and answered all of your guys' questions. If you haven't listened to those are back a few episodes. So I learned most everything I know from them. Of course, I've had other mentors and guiders, but they are the ones who have always resonated with me the most, which is why I chose to become certified as a facilitator through them. So in this episode, we go super deep into the science behind breathwork, which is fun. We go into relationships with families when it comes to personal development. We go into feeling the feels. Mary, what else do we talk about?
I mean, there were about a million huge takeaways. And what I really loved about this episode is you guys hear us talk about breathwork all the time, mm-hmm. but this episode really went so much deeper into the science behind it, like you said, but also like the reason why we do this practice. And I think they do such a good job explaining it because I've never quite been able to put into words like, okay, I'm like, yeah, breathwork's amazing. You have to do it. It's changing my life. Mm-hmm. And they really dove deep into why and how and like what you're going to be experiencing and what you can expect. And mm-hmm. I thought that was so cool because it just gives you this well-rounded image of what you can expect on, or somewhat what to expect. Everyone's journey is different, but like what you can go into it expecting for a breathwork journey. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, talking about just how this bleeds into all the other parts of your life off of your mat or off of your breathing journey, like how it really applies to your everyday life,
right?
Your relationships. And I think that's where the real changes and the real shifts happen, you know,
because yeah.
it's so much about like shifting your internal world versus like shifting your external world. And mm-hmm. oh, like I said, I'm like chills over here, you guys. So many good takeaways. This is going to be an episode that you guys are going to want to listen to over and over again.
Yeah. And let me know, I know it's a long one, but you're going to want to listen to the entire thing because we get into some real juicy stuff, like the family stuff and like you being on the personal development journey while your family or your partner is it. We talk about that at the end. So be sure to listen all the way through. And the cool thing about like one of my favorite parts about this episode is that we didn't really go like super deep into their story. We just got right into the juicy questions because we know y'all love the juicy questions.
Yes.
So I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of a lowdown on who Jess and Corey are and where they came from. So Corey and Jessica are master breathwork facilitators and they're founders of the Reset Breathwork Method, which you guys have heard a little bit about because that's what I was trained in. So known as the Healing Couple, they lead soul-changing experiences to help high achievers heal from the inside out, unlock ultimate freedom, and amplify their lives and their impact. As a naturopathic physician and yoga teacher, they've traveled the world and experienced everything from plant medicine, talk therapy, yoga, personal development seminars, shamanic journeys, silent meditation retreats, you name it. But nothing came close to breathwork for long-lasting transformation. Through breath, they've transmuted years of anxiety, burnout, and depression into deep inner peace and self-love, abundance in life and business, and true happiness from within, which you guys also have more social proof of because Mary and I have done the same through our breathwork journeys. Today, Corey has stepped away as a full-time physician, and together they've supported thousands of humans all over the globe through their events, group programs, and coaching, as well as train others like me to become Reset Breathwork facilitators through their certification program. Their mission is to impact millions of lives because they believe that together we can heal the world, and it starts with your breath. Ooh, I got the chills. So let's just get into it and go to the show. All right, Jess, Corey, welcome to the show. Thank you guys so much for being here. We are so excited for this episode.
Yay, we're really, really stoked to be here.
So as you guys heard in the intro, Jess and Corey were my mentors when it came to becoming a breathwork facilitator. You guys know all about that. I have an entire episode on that. And I've really loved learning breathwork from them. They are amazing facilitators and amazing mentors when it comes to becoming a breathwork facilitator. So we are going to go into all things breathwork. You guys have heard mine and Mary's experiences with breathwork, but now we are going to get the perspectives from two individuals who have been on this journey a little bit longer than us and have dove a bit deeper than us. So yes. With that, our first question for you today is, what is the trippiest or craziest experience that each of you have ever had during a breathwork session?
Well, actually, I'm going to talk, but it's going to be about her experience.
So I like that.
How this crazy train of breathwork started for us was really when me and Jessica were doing long distance. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona. I had a medical practice. I had all these responsibilities. And Jessica was like living the dream out at Sunset Cliffs, Ocean Beach area, if you're familiar with it, like right on the ocean, living her best life. And she wanted to become a yoga teacher. And this was many years ago. And so she went and did her first yoga teacher training certification during one of the weekends, because what would happen is we would call each other late at night. That was the only time I had time because I was so full. She was so full. So we'd kind of recap at night. And I remember one of the weekends, she's like, I did this breathwork thing and like nothing happened. I was like, what? Breathwork? What is it? Because I've heard of pranayama, kundalini, all these other types of meditative practices. And so I was like, just breathwork? Like you just breathe? Like that's it? And she's like, yeah. And that was kind of what happened in the beginning. And then I think you did another session a couple weeks later and had this mind-blowing experience. And I mean, she was telling me all these things, which she'll share with you. But my experience was, okay, I'm listening to this human that I just met, and she's talking about like eagles and flying above the clouds. And the only thing I can compare this with is plant medicine. So either she's really crazy, like she's really crazy and I should probably break up with her, or maybe I should try this breathwork thing. That was my experience.
Yeah. Well, and I'll speak to your experience. So I was, every single time I did breathwork, I was on a complete high. I just remember like there was one session where I felt like I was like floating higher and higher and higher. And I could just see like, I was like an eagle looking down on my life.
See, eagle.
Yes.
Eagle.
And I could just see everything happening, and it was amazing. And so I was just screaming like, yes, yes, yes. And like in this group session, I just couldn't stop like smiling and laughing and screaming the word yes. And I was just hooked. I was so hooked after that. And I kept doing breathwork consistently. And again, I would tell, you know, on these like late night calls with Corey, like tell him like about all these experiences that I had. And I eventually, there was one session in particular where I was just like, I have to share this work. Like I have to shares with as many people as possible so that they can feel this amount of joy and bliss and like ultimate freedom. And I immediately walked with the teacher and I said, I have to share this. How do I do so? And she talked about teacher training, all that kind of stuff, which I won't get into, but I called Corey and I was like, hey, I'm doing this breathwork teacher training. Like it's this fall. I can't freaking wait. And he was like, I'm in, I'm doing it with you. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, you're just going to do this thing with me? And he's like, yeah, like, I'm just going to jump in. And in the teacher training was the first time that he had actually experienced this particular methodology. Mm-hmm. And I remember because we were all paired up and he was across the room from me with another partner. And I was an observer holding space for my partner and he was breathing at the time. And I remember kind of like looking over and he was absolutely like tweaking out, like his hands were and arms were flailing everywhere. Like, I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, okay. I need to focus on my partner that I'm holding space for. Like, I can't even like look over there right now, but it was like a complete like reboot reset. And the noises that came out of your mouth, I don't even know where they came from, but that was really powerful. Yeah.
Well, and for those of you that are listening, like while we're saying like, you know, what's the craziest experience or like what happened, like what was the extreme and like, while Jessica can describe that outer experience, I'm like getting emotional thinking about like that session. I got to enter my father's body and I got to experience him in a completely different way.
Wow.
In a way where I got to be humbled by his own experience of me, his own experience of what he was going through at the time. And I got to forgive my father.
Wow.
And that's something that I never, ever even touched with plant medicine. Mm-hmm. After many, many journeys, spending a month in the Amazon. And it totally took me by surprise. And I felt 1,000% lighter, like 1,000 pounds lighter, however you want to describe it. I came up, and for you guys in the Midwest, understand this, like deer in the headlights look of like, I don't know what just hit me, but it was real good.
Wow.
Yeah.
So going into that breathwork session, was it just kind of like a general breathwork session, or did you go in with a theme of like forgiveness, or was it just a situation where your body just showed you what you needed at that moment?
Yeah. I mean, it was just an introductory breathwork training. So we were just learning how to hold space for individuals. And so there would be a sitter and a breather. And I think in like holotropic settings, that's typically how it works. And so I sat and watched first, thank God. And my partner was like a pretty darn good breather. So I was like, oh, this is how you do it. And then I went 110% in. So that was pretty much my understanding and the way that it happened. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I love that. And I think one of the biggest things that you kind of touched on in the beginning when you were sharing your story, because I have a yoga background as well. And in my first experience with breathwork, they're like, yeah, we're going to do breathwork. And I'm like, oh, I got this. I know how to breathe. I'm a yoga teacher. That's what we do. Having absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into. And it's such a powerful and deep experience. Like you guys both, like they're eagles. You're like, you know, able to forgive on this deeper level. Like there are all these intense feelings and emotions and experiences that can come up when you are just breathing, which seems kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But I want you to dive a little bit deeper into that. Like what's going on here? Because I remember, and I don't know if this is the greatest way to describe it or not, but I say it's the closest thing to doing drugs without doing drugs. You are like getting high on yourself. And at least that's what it feels like or can feel like. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more about like what's going on in the body when this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's geek out. So for me, like coming up deer in headlights, like being totally shocked by the experience, because my background is in medicine, biochemistry, physiology. And I had such an extensive background with plant medicine that I agree with you that like, that's the only thing I could really compare it to. And there were aspects of it that were even deeper and greater because I created it. Mm-hmm. I didn't take a pill. I didn't sip on the ayahuasca vine. Like it was something that I cultivated inside of myself. And so I went on this really in-depth journey on like what actually is happening inside my body. And I can tell you with a certain level of significance that the way that the body operates, especially the mind, is it's a record keeper of the past. And there's a lot of this language going on in social media right now, but it literally is a record keeper of the past. And it does that primarily to keep you safe. So of course you store good memories, like you have great birthdays and celebrations and fun and joy and pleasure and all that good stuff. But the brain, it prioritizes traumatic experiences, dangerous experiences, experiences that you don't want to experience again. And because of modern society and the amount of information that we have in coming into us, phones, social media, driving on the highway, how many thousands of people do you experience all the time? It's an overload for our very ancient nervous system. It's about 2.5 million years old. So it has, I would say in the last 250 years, had a really hard time catching up to what's actually happening. And so the brain, the nervous system, the body can sometimes prioritize a lot of things as traumatic, as bad, as something that we should avoid. And that gets stuck and ingrained in our nervous system. And there's only a few things that I know of plant medicine. Meditation does do it as well, but breath work, I found, is almost like that knife through butter. Like, it gets right to that point and you're nodding your head agreeing.
It's the quickest
way to get there. And really what's happening is you're breathing in a particular pattern that goes against your past. And in between, all this stuff happens. So Jessica talked about me tweaking, or I talked about Jessica seeing all these visuals, whether they're good, bad, or whatever. And what that is that's the ego, that's the mind, the body trying to keep you in the same position because it thinks that is safe. Yet so many people go, I want more freedom. I want more peace. I want more pleasure. I want more time for myself. And we don't know how to get there. Breath work is the way to close that gap because it can mirror a new way of existing, a new way of living. And like Sarah, you had mentioned in one of your previous podcasts, on a neurological level, you breathe in this pattern enough, you are rewiring neurons in your brain to create a new existence, a new way of being, a new self. Mm-hmm. And that gives me chills.
Yeah.
Because we have gotten so much feedback from people that we've worked with, trained, or gone through our programs that they say, oh, I don't feel just different. Like, I don't even recognize myself. Mm-hmm. I'm a completely different new human being. And I get to tell them, yeah, because you are.
Yeah.
Because you are.
It's so funny you bring this up because just yesterday, Zach and I, we were on a family vacation and we were on a lake. And yesterday morning, we went out on the dock and we were drinking our coffees. And we were just talking about, I asked him the question, he asked it back to me. Like, what's the biggest way that you've shifted since the first of the year in like the past 7-8 months? Like, what's been one profound shift that you've experienced? And mine, like, instantly the mind in me went back to the breathwork session I did with you guys during graduation from breathwork teacher training. And I explained it to him as like, I carried a limiting belief of I am not enough for my entire life. And I'm not saying that it's not there anymore. Like, I hear the voice a little bit still, but the difference ever since that breathwork session, because during that breathwork session or coming out of it, I should say, like, yeah, during and coming out of it, that was the biggest breakthrough for me, was I could feel the limiting belief of I'm not enough shifting into I am enough. Like, I got this. Mm-hmm. And before that breathwork session, there were very loud voices in my head that would come up time and time again, which I have done a lot of mindset work, so I know how to kind of work through those things and not let them completely control my reality. But after that breathwork session, it's like the voices will pop up still. However, it's like my body knows and feels on a deep level that I am enough. So it's like, if the voices come through, I can so easily shut them down now. And it's like, I just, that's the image that flashes into my mind. Is me lying on the floor with you guys during graduation in that breathwork session. Like, ever since then, I just have this deep knowing that I am enough, that I got this, like, and that's what wins now. And it's because I'm rewiring that neural pathway, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And you created an experience that breathwork session, and probably because of everything that you did up to that point, right? The mindset work, the previous coaches that you had gone with, you meeting Tori Washington, working with her, bouncing into us, then doing a facilitation training, then going all the way to the end, right? How many sessions did you do all the way up to the end? And then that moment, you created an experience that was greater than your limiting belief. Yeah. And the mind will go to that greater experience. It will approximate, it will create a pattern, a neural pathway, and a memory that now is greater than anything that you had in your past. So you have completely shifted and changed that.
And I love too, that you said, Sarah, that like, that's the memory, or that's the belief that wins. Like, it's not like, oh, it's completely gone away. And we don't ever want to make that guarantee or make that claim that like, oh, all of this stuff is just going to go away from your past and you're never, ever going to feel any emotions around it. And it's just like a clean slate, right? It's still going to be there, but it's like, what wins,
right?
What's going to actually lead your life?
Yeah.
And no longer is it going to be the story that I'm not enough leading, you know, your actions and your behaviors and what you create.
That's a great point, because after that session, how did your life change? You probably were spending a lot less time thinking about that limiting belief and searching for evidence for it. Totally. And that's the shift, is you're doing all the other things.
Totally. Well, I mean, the opposite's true now. Like, I search for evidence in those moments of I am enough. Like that's what comes first, you know? Whereas before that breathwork session, if the thoughts would come up, it would just kind of build on each other and it'd be like, oh, like this is why I'm not enough or this is why I'm not enough. But after that breathwork session, the voices might come saying like, I might hear in my mind, like, are you really going to be able to pull this off? And then instantly I just feel in my body like, yes. And here's why you're pulling this off. And here's why you are good enough to do this work in the world.
Woo!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I love
more
that.
That is needed in the world.
Let's talk about limiting beliefs a little bit more, because our listeners, like that's something we talk about a lot on the show, is limiting beliefs and shifting them. And Mary, you actually had a really good question that you brought up. You want to ask them?
Yeah. So I started really getting into breathwork last year. And that's where I, just like everyone was saying, had a lot of those major shifts where, like, how I would explain it was I had my limiting belief, but I felt like it kind of got muted, where this like new belief that I wanted to have became more vibrant and kind of that go-to thought in my mind. And I would love to hear, like, if, how can we use breathwork with intention? So if I have a certain limiting belief, Sarah, yours was, I'm not enough. How do we use breathwork as a tool to help us overcome that?
I really love that question, because that is why we've actually created what's now called the Reset Breathwork Method, because we recognize that the way in which we facilitate the breath is different than a lot of other modalities and facilitators out there, because we bring so much intentionality and integration behind the work that we do, so that it's not just, oh, I'm just going to breathe my ass off and then I'm going to go back into my day. It's so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And with this particular method, what we do is we always make sure that our clients, our students, are setting an intention beforehand. And usually when we lead a group experience, we have that intention already. We'll have a certain theme that we bring to the group, and then you kind of set your own intention within that. And we can go even deeper with private clients, but the intention is so important, because when you can hold that and be very specific with it, that's when we really start to create deeper transformation. I'd love for you to expand on this. Mm-hmm. And it's also really important to frame it in the positive, rather than, okay, I want to just stop feeling like I'm not enough, or I want to just get rid of feeling, you know, being so afraid of what other people think. It's like, can you frame that in the positive? And then also get really clear on what that would feel like. What would it feel like to be worthy? Mm-hmm. Where would you feel it in your body? Mm-hmm. Okay. You would feel it maybe in your heart space. It would feel really open and grounded, like really getting so present to the sensations before you even start the breathwork journey. And then also have people imagine, like, what does it look like? What does it taste like? What does it sound like? And really get clear on the vision of that. And then when you breathe, that's where it takes it to another level. And I'd love for you to explain why that is.
So let me take you through like what I'm hearing from Jessica and then what is actually happening in the nervous system. So when she talks about intention, she's talking about the neocortex, right? That spongy layer that we think is our brain and how we operate every single day, right? It's that top layer, the intention. That's what that part of the brain loves. So she's feeding it a little bit of that. Then she's getting into the syntax, right? What is it going to feel like? What is it going to look like? What is it going to taste like? What is it going to sound like? What is the sensory experience? Now you're getting into deeper parts of the nervous system. An umbrella term for it would be like the limbic brain, the reptilian brain, right? And then she's going to get into the emotion. And the emotion, the emotional decision maker in your brain is, it's called the thalamus, and it's the very deep part in your limbic reptilian brain. And if you can get down to that level, okay, just hold on for a second. Mm-hmm. If you can get that to that deep level before you even breathe, you're activating a little bit of that. What breathwork does, breathwork requires a lot of energy in this muscle called your diaphragm. It's the section of your body that essentially coordinates off all your guts, and then your heart and your lungs are on top. It's this big muscle. And every time you breathe into your belly, it's like an umbrella, and then it contracts and it flattens. And every time it does that, there's this nerve that sticks up through it called the vagus nerve. That vagus nerve goes all the way through your heart, your lungs, all the way up your neck. And guess where it stops? The limbic system. And if you're able to breathe hard enough, long enough, intensely enough, and you have that intention with that elevated emotion, and you're sending a new signal up the vagus nerve every single time, something will break, something will be released, something will be liberated, something will fall away. And then what you'll be left with is your intention, your desired emotion, and it's going to be ingrained, overridden in your nervous system, and you'll be a new person. That's what happens.
That is the coolest, juiciest thing I have ever heard. So I've been experiencing breathwork. I've been practicing, like I said, for a little over a year now. Well, I took a little break because I got pregnant and had a baby. But besides that, I was very consistent in my practice. And all these things are happening to me. And I'm like, what? I don't know what's happening, but I like it. And I'm going to keep doing it. So thank you for that explanation, because that was beautiful. And I want to ask kind of a personal question, but I think everyone listening will really enjoy hearing the response to this too. So I've had a couple really intense experiences while I've been doing breathwork where I've like seen things. And one of the experiences was very beautiful. I was having a terrible, like just off day where just, I wasn't inspired. I didn't want to work. Like nothing was wrong, but I just was feeling really off. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to practice what I preach. I'm going to go do some breathwork, see how I feel after. And I did my like a 20-minute breathwork session. And in this session, I had this vision of like a version of me like lifting out of my own body and like rising above me. Mm-hmm. And I got like this like chill over my body. And it was like, there's my highest self. Like mm-hmm. there she is. She's right in front of me. She's going to guide me. Oh, I get chills just thinking about it. Like it was such a profound experience of like, I'm on the right track. Like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Here she is. Like I'm following her. She's right in front of me. Mm-hmm. What happened there? Like I feel, and then I've never like, I don't want to say never, because I've had another pretty like visual experience like that too, but it's only been like a couple times. So what's going on in these like deeper sessions versus like these in-betweens that are like still very refreshing? And I feel like emotions, or I laugh or I cry or I scream, but to have that almost like a visual mm-hmm. experience,
mm-hmm. really the out of body experience. Yeah,
tell me a little bit more about your day. Like what was so hard about it?
You know, and this was a while, this is like over a year ago, so I can't remember exactly, but I just remember feeling like, I just remember feeling like off, like very blah. You know, I'm a content creator, so I feel like you kind of got to be turned on all the time and creating new stuff and like on your A game and like always creating. And I usually am excited to do that. And I just didn't feel inspired. I didn't feel like motivated. I was like, I need a refresh. And so I'm like, I'm going to go breathe and kind of connect within. Kind of, I guess I went in with the intention and kind of unintentionally went in with an intention of like, I need to just let go of whatever is like kind of weighing me down today and like tap into my true self.
Yeah.
And then boom, it was like, there she is.
Right. 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 I mean, I'll have one explanation for you, but sometimes that just happens. Sometimes you have a spiritual experience in the middle of your life and there is no explanation other than it is what it is. And what a beautiful message that you did get. Yeah. I explained the vagus nerve, this breathwork technique, because of the pattern that you breathe in. It increases, I don't want to say it increases pressure, but it increases the cerebrospinal fluid in your brain. The cerebrospinal fluid is what your brain and your spinal cord, they bathe in. And unfortunately, it's one of the only fluids in the body that doesn't have a pump. So for instance, like the heart, you have all these blood vessels running through your body and the heart's pumping to move that blood. Well, there's no pump for your brain and your spinal cord and cerebrospinal fluid. What that pump is actually your breath. Every time you take a breath in, you have a sit bone at the bottom of your spine called your sacrum. It will tip forward and tip back, and it acts like a pump, and it will pump cerebrospinal fluid against gravity up into your brain. Now, without getting too technical, there is a part in your brain called the pineal gland. It's also called the third eye. It helps you with sleep. It can release melatonin. Well, there's a lot of research being done now that it can release what is called DMT. DMT is called the spirit molecule. This is a molecule that has been recorded in near-death experiences, as well as people pass away, it will spike in high levels. And it's also found in the lungs as well. So when you breathe in a very intense fashion, the lungs can release it as well. And so when you have DMT released, you can have those either near death experience where you're either seeing the golden white gates, mm-hmm. or you're seeing a spirit of yourself rise above you, or you're experiencing some sort of extraterrestrial out of body experience.
Like an eagle. Was that it?
Yeah. Right. And so the mind is going to interpret, the body is going to interpret it as it sees fit. Right. And so I think that on some level, you probably breathe to a certain intensity where you had that type of experience. Now, there's this doctor side of me that like says, okay, DMT, pineal gland, that's rational. But I also want to really honor the sacred and the spiritual. And I think that us being these beautiful, sacred human beings, we have to remember our past and our ancestral lineage. And so what I'm getting cued in on is maybe there was something from your past, one of your relatives that came through and transmuted some of that energy for you. Because I can say that at least on my father's side, I get a lot of that. I'm a Viking. So like all my cousins have red hair and like I'm an Ostrut, and like I have these like really visceral experiences of like feeling like I'm on a boat. Like, and I tell Jessica, like after breathwork sessions, like I need to be on a boat. Like I need to go like conquer something. Like it's this inner expression that I feel. And so I think that we often just stick to the science and say, oh, DMT, and then we rationalize it away. But I really want to honor your experience. And I've had very intense experiences like that. And then years later, I'll have like the conclusion. So don't just think it's just this one and done kind of experience. Like it's, if you got there, there's a possibility to go back and maybe glean even more information from it.
I love that. Yeah. I was always really fascinated. I remember it happened, and Sarah, I don't know if you remember, but I think I like immediately texted you and was like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. I was like, you will not believe.
You voice messaged me. I got like 6 minutes of voice messages explaining this. I'm like, hell yes.
Yeah. It was because Sarah was a huge influence in me, because I had my first breathwork experience, in a yoga session, and had just very emotional. I was crying and, you know, just a lot of feelings came up. But then I kind of never did it again, because I was like, whoa, that was crazy, and didn't really know how to practice. But then Sarah got me back into it. So yeah, I shared that with her. But yeah.
Okay, Corey, we have to ask you, because we actually had multiple listeners ask this question, and I learned about this in breathwork teacher training, but it wasn't something, it's still not something that I'm like fully confident speaking on. And I know that our listeners will appreciate it more coming from you, because you're a doctor, or you were a doctor. Mm-hmm.
Question around
hyperventilation, and like, how is this three-part breath different, or breathwork in general, different than hyperventilation?
Yeah. So I think there's a big conversation going around that right now, especially with James Nestor's book, Breathe, that recently came out, because he's such a big fan of nasal breathing and more relaxed, gentle, calm breathing, which me and Jessica, outside of doing our reset breathwork method, are a huge fan of. So to speak on hyperventilation, so what hyperventilation syndrome is it's a bunch of symptoms that happen in corresponding order, according to conventional medical people, that happens when you breathe too hard, too fast. Okay. And some of those things do happen during our reset breathwork method, but because you're breathing in a cyclical pattern, and we have you doing one belly, one chest, one out, and we can describe it more in detail later. But because you're breathing in this cyclical pattern, it really does prevent hyperventilation syndrome from occurring. And I personally, as a physician, have had a really, how do I want to say this? It's been a conundrum for me, because I've seen some people go into what I think is hyperventilation syndrome, and then I let them go a little bit farther, and they have the most profound experience of their life. So for those of you that are worried, like, oh, I have anxiety, I'm so worried about having a panic attack and hyperventilating during breath work. If you have a solid guide with you, like me and Jessica, or if you know, we can help you find one of our
Sarah,
the possibility of that happening is so low. And as long as you keep breathing in that pattern, there's no room for that anxiety or for that hyperventilation syndrome to come in. Because really what hyperventilation syndrome is it's the nervous system in complete fight or flight, like complete panic. Like, we don't know what to do, so we're going to go into complete panic. And if you have a breathwork facilitator that sets the right setting, intention, creates a safe space, it's going to be really hard for your mind to go into that hyperventilating state. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 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 But there's, I mean, yes, like some people have hyperventilation. I mean, some of the symptoms are like, you can get the cramping, the tingling, the numbness, mm-hmm. You can get the sweating. That is part of hyperventilation syndrome, but the emotional releases, the spiritual experiences, the physical, like people like having less pain in their body, the people that we've helped heal autoimmune disease, that doesn't explain it. So
yeah, no,
I'm more about like, try something new, try something right. outside of the box. And just because you're worried about a little hyperventilation syndrome, we've never had it happen. So
I was like, well, even if it were hyperventilation, who fucking cares? Because you get a wild experience out of it. Like if I knew that, like, hey, Sarah, if you hyperventilate, you can shift your limiting belief of I am not enough to I am enough. I'd be like, all right, let's hyperventilate.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that's why I always remind people to treat this like an experiment. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, there's, you know, a lot more research and science that's coming out about breathwork, which I'm so grateful for. Yeah. However, I always say, trust yourself and trust your body. Like you might as well just go for it. You might as well just give it 100% and see how you feel on the other side.
Yeah.
And that's why we always start our classes, our programs. We always remind people that like you're in the driver's seat and like, you don't have to take our word for anything. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to believe a single thing that we say, mm-hmm. like, and I'm not offended.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I want you to just treat like an experiment, see how your body responds and how, you know, what your experience is like, see how you feel on the other side.
And another way of looking at this, and we do get a lot of these questions as well, like, well, what about this? Or what about that? Or what about hyperventilation syndrome? I can say that after doing this for a whole year straight, and also talking to other people that have done it for many years, many decades in a similar form, not the exact form that we teach, but it's very similar. We don't get any physical symptoms anymore. Like I miss it. I'm like, I wish I cramped a little bit. Like, I wish I felt kind of tingly. But if you've completely cleared your vessel, like of the emotions that are keeping you stuck, of the mental blocks, of the trauma, like, yes, I still feel amazing, floaty. I get some visions at the end, but I've cleared out all that stuff. So your label of hyperventilation may just be your ego getting in the way. And right. so I'll push back on that.
Totally. Well, it goes back to what you were saying in the beginning about the fearful mind and our minds and bodies storing like survival mechanisms. And it's like the moment and this too, and maybe you guys could speak on this a little bit too, because I had somebody who really wanted to join my breathwork course, Breathe Free, but she was like, well, when I do breathwork, I've only tried it a couple of times. I've never done it guided, but I get anxiety. Like breathwork gives me anxiety. And I just tried to, you know, gently explain to her that it's probably the mind in you just being afraid of the unknown and being afraid of something new that could potentially change your life. And in my opinion and my experiences, the mind is very afraid. It's the Merriam-Williamson quote. It's like something along the lines of, it's not our darkness that we're afraid of. It's our lightness. It's our highest potential. And I feel like that comes into play here too, especially with the anxiety. It's like the mind in us it's afraid of who we might become once we use this powerful tool to excel into a higher version of us. It's afraid of, like, that's uncertain. It's like, what will life look like if I, you know, let go of my struggles, if I use this tool to heal anxiety and heal stress, like who am I without anxiety? Who am I without stress? Who am I without worry? Who am I without fear? I feel like that plays a big role in all of this.
Yeah. Sometimes the harsh reality is that sometimes we actually are more comfortable with our pain and our limiting beliefs than, and it prevents us from actually going for it in life. Because our minds, our brains are set up to, they crave the familiar, even if it's uncomfortable and painful, right. Our mind will prioritize that again to keep us safe because the unknown that is deemed not safe. And so whatever is known, again, even if it's uncomfortable or painful, our brains will prioritize that. And so just like you said, like, you know, if you have been experiencing anxiety for many, many years, which I did, and it was like something that was my nervous system.
It was debilitating for you.
My nervous system was so used to it that our minds will crave that. And so if you're so used to anxiety over and over again, like you almost want to hold on to that. I know it can be.
It turns into an entity. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And we want to even if our conscious mind says, no, 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 like, I don't want to be an anxious person. Like, no, I don't want to feel this way. But really deep down, our subconscious does.
Right.
And so if we can muster up the courage to break ourselves free of that, to break through the resistance. Resistance is some of the biggest thing that we see in the clients that we work with is like, there's so much resistance initially. Mm-hmm. But I always remind people that the amount of resistance that you feel, whether it's like pain that comes up in the physical body, whether it's anxiety, whether it's just your mind is like, oh, I don't have time for this, or like, this is too much. Whatever the resistance appears as, the amount of it that you feel is directly equivalent to the amount of freedom, of joy, of bliss, all the things that you desire on the other side.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So are you willing to drop your story and break through the resistance that you can feel that on the other side? Mm-hmm. And yes, it might be scary. I don't ever want to claim that breathwork is just going to be rainbows and butterflies the whole time, and you're just going to feel absolutely amazing. It can be really fucking painful. Mm-hmm. It can be really scary. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this with a lot of people we've worked with where like they're going for it. And then they just like, they pop up and they're like, oh, I can't do this. Like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And it really takes a lot of safety and trust, which is why, of course, it's so important to have a certified breathwork facilitator, especially your first couple of times. Yeah. But I can always claim and guarantee that if you move through the resistance, what you will feel on the other side eventually.
So we're shouting everything. To you from the other side, the grass is greener.
Yes.
I promise. Well,
and that goes along with something that I like, a motto I live by, which is you get to choose your hard. Like, yeah, Jess, like you said, it might be scary sometimes and it might be hard and it might feel painful within your breathwork session, which usually breathwork sessions are around like 20 minutes to 40. Mm-hmm. It might feel painful and scary during that time, but it also feels really painful and scary and shitty to stay stuck in the bullshit your entire life. So it's like, you get to choose your heart. You can, you know, keep living life with the anxiety and the stress and the worry and the fear and the doubt and the self-consciousness and all of the things, or you can, you know, choose to show up for this breathwork session or these breathwork sessions. And, you know, it might be painful and scary in the moment, but there's a brighter light on the other side.
It's not forever either. I always say each breathwork session is different.
Right.
They will change and evolve with you.
Right.
So it's like, usually you got to get through the shit in the beginning, but after that, the grass is greener. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean that pain, that discomfort that you might feel initially, I mean, it's only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's only temporary. So are you willing to experience that temporary quote unquote pain?
Yeah. Breathwork is such a good tool for what we say and what I feel like you hear all the time is like feeling your feels. Like it is for me, at least, one of those things that, I'm not always 100% sure what's going to come up in the session, but I choose to experience and be fully present with it. And I can speak to, you know, being that person that had some of that anxiety that was just putting such a damper on my life and, you know, just made life so much harder to live. And I feel like it wasn't always easy to feel those feelings when I was in a breathwork session, but because I kept showing up, I kept being consistent, I kept listening to my body and being present with whatever was there, it gave me that freedom to let it go. And you're right. Does anxiety never show up in my life anymore? Of course not. I still have it every once in a while, but it is nowhere near what it used to be. And breathwork to me was a huge tool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to go back a little bit because we kind of briefly touched on this and then started going on this amazing path, which I've loved. But I want to talk about some of the physical things that people feel when doing breath work and kind of how you were saying, like, I wish I felt those things, but I don't because I've kind of like rid them from my body. Can you speak on that a little bit more? Like, what are some pretty common things that someone who's, you know, newish to breath work can expect to experience? And then like what's happening as those things are sort of being released as you become better or more consistent with your breathwork practice?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd love to maybe I can kind of go over the different things. And if you want to kind of explain more of like the background behind it and just add to it. The most common thing that people experience, especially with the reset breathwork method, is tingling and vibrations. Most people experience it in their extremities, so in their hands, their face, their feet. Sometimes people feel like they come out, they're like, I feel like my whole entire body was like buzzing and vibrating. I could have like levitated off the ground, right? And this is really what's happening is that you are literally raising your vibration.
Doesn't that sound wonky? Like I used to think that was like, so
oh,
wonky.
Like raise your vibration.
Oh, it's not wonky to us. This is called Her Vibe is Pretty. And yeah. Let's get vibey is our motto.
Oh, I forgot. I'm on the podcast.
Okay. You're in very good company here, but I will say I do love having like the medical perspective to things as well as the spiritual, because yeah, on our show, we dive hardcore into like the vibes and the energy and all that stuff. But I feel like it's very refreshing to have this like medical perspective as well. So
yeah. So with the tingling and the vibration, so you're breathing in a particular pattern, you're hyperoxygenating your blood and you're really amplifying everything in your nervous system, right? Like you're ramping everything up. And when you do that, what's happening is every single one of our cells vibrate at a certain frequency. And so like Sarah, your cells, like the summation of all your cells vibrate at a very different frequency than mine. Mary, same thing, right? And it's our identical, or it's our energetic signature. So all of our cells vibrating together is us. And so when you walk into a room, you feel my energy, I feel your energy. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is all of our five senses, they only feel the difference. Okay. Let me have a couple funny examples. So the not so funny one is you're in your car with your boyfriend or your partner, right? And he or she is a really fast driver. So when they get on the highway, you're going down that like on-ramp and they're hitting the accelerator and you feel it, right? You feel that acceleration. Your head goes in the back seat. You're probably smacking them, telling them to slow down. You feel the acceleration. But then what happens when you get on the highway? You don't hardly feel anything because you're already going that speed.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, the same thing happens in our nervous system when we're breathing. Like as you're breathing every single day, there's not a lot of new sensory input. So there's not a lot of difference, okay? And when you breathe in this intense fashion, hyperoxygenating your system, ramping up your nervous system, your body feels that energetic acceleration. And so that's what you're feeling, is you're feeling the difference. And sometimes it can be so palpable that you can feel your whole body shaking and vibrating. And that's something that is common to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can also experience cramping in the body. So I think you had touched on that a little bit, Mary, where you know the hands can cramp up, you can experience cramping in all these other areas of your body. We say it looks like lobster claws. Obviously it's known as tetany in the medical world, which you can definitely, you know, mm-hmm. expand on when it comes to the cramping.
Yeah. So with cramping, usually that happens a couple different reasons. Okay. So our hands are an extension of our heart. Have you ever heard that before? Like when you lay hands on people or healers with energetic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is some truth to that. When you are embryologically growing inside like your mom, what happens is you are like what's called a primordial plate. So you're actually like two layers of cells that are together and then you grow into arms, bodies, legs. Well, the original cells that are part of your heart actually extend out to your hands. So a lot of people that are dealing with emotions, deep trauma, like you name it, right? Anxiety, stress, usually we're feeling it a lot in our heart. Well, during breath work, everything amplifies. So it goes out to your extremities, into your hands. So a lot of people end up with cramping, twisting of their arms, folding of their arms, very, very common. And when you breathe in this pattern, you can get your oxygen levels higher than your carbon dioxide levels because you're breathing in too, or you're blowing out too much carbon dioxide. So you'll see people and they're exhaling out too much and it causes an imbalance of your gases in your blood. And that can cause cramping too, because mm-hmm. the oxygen's not getting to your fingers and your toes.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, you can get really hot. You can get really cold. And then also the biggest thing is experiencing an emotional release. So mm-hmm. a lot of people experience really deep emotions. We've had a lot of ugly cries doing breath work. We've had moments where, you know, we've just like laughed hysterically for no apparent reason mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. Right. And to speak to like the emotions piece, which I know you, Mary, were saying, talking about like, you know, feeling the feels, like sometimes you don't know what's going to come up during breath work. And the thing is that we're tapping into our subconscious, and the subconscious mind is where we store our emotions. And so there can be things that have been stored deep down, memories, experiences that our conscious mind didn't even know that we were holding on to them. So many times people come out and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I cried and cried and cried, but I feel so good now. I feel so liberated. And I was thinking about this, you know, this time, you know, back when I was like, you know, 10 years old, and I thought I healed that, or I didn't even know that, like, I was still holding on to that, but I was able to release it. And I always believe that whatever comes up to the surface during breath work, there's no right or wrong. It's just, it's ready to be released. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our conscious mind can't even comprehend it or understand it. So rather than trying to analyze these emotions, it's just moving through them and just feeling them, because really the only way out is through.
Right.
That's beautiful. Can't think our way through it.
Yeah. Physiologically, what's happening, you're breathing in this pattern, hyperoxygenating. And when you get more oxygen into your bloodstream, it creates an alkaline environment. So you've heard of like alkaline foods, alkaline water, right? Super healthy. So you're bathing your brain in an alkaline blood. And when that happens, it actually shuts off higher order functioning in your brain. And so the brain will then go to the reptilian brain, where it houses all the emotions. And that's why breathwork is so good at releasing and liberating emotions from the mind and the body, because you're shutting down the neocortex and higher ordered thinking and thought process.
So that's good.
Yeah. Oh, also hot and cold. That's mm-hmm. really common. So mm-hmm. sometimes people break out in a sweat, like whole body sweat, like soak through your clothes, or they get shivery cold.
Same reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Same reason is because the deep parts of the brain and the nervous system regulate your temperature. So that can happen as well.
So good. So our listeners hear us say all the time, you have to feel in order to heal. And breathwork is like one of the best ways to actually do that. Cause we're always asked like, how do I feel to heal? How do I feel to heal? And there are other tools for sure, but breathwork, I would say, is like very, very helpful at doing that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like, imagine all of the stuff that you have within you that just needs to be released and like cleaned out. And I don't know, if I was listening to this and I've never done breathwork before, I'd be like, how do I get started immediately? Because this sounds amazing. Because you're right, you don't even know some of the things that you're kind of holding on within until you get to these deeper levels. And like, we kind of briefly touched on this too. It's like meditation times 1,000. Like, I tried meditating so many times. It's just has never been a strength of mine. And then I did breath work and I was like, oh damn, like here it is. Like this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it happened so much faster. And I feel like, again, that's kind of our society. Like, if we want something, we want it instantly. We want it now. And that's kind of what breathwork does. It's like this instant, deep, like meditation experience without like trying to sit and keep your mind focused. It's like amplified. Mm-hmm. But okay, so I have a hidden question in here. The question is, for someone who is like, hey, I've never done this before, they've obviously listened to our podcast. Sarah and I are both huge fans, but like, what would be some advice for someone who's getting started? You know, what should they look for? What should they look out for? What advice, you know, do you get started with like a recording, or do you get started with like a live session, or what's your guys' take on that?
Mm, that's great. And I would say I'll just start by saying there's not a one size fits all, because I think every body, every human is different. And if it really depends on your intention behind breath work. If you're looking to just, you know, feel more relaxed and grounded, there are some great YouTube videos out there where you can just search, you know, breathwork techniques for relaxation. And we have some great ones on our Instagram.
I was going to say, I've done some of yours before. I remember when I first started getting into breathwork, I found some of your videos on YouTube and they're incredible. And then Sarah was like, yeah, I'm doing this training with the Healing Couple. I'm like, oh, I know them from YouTube.
So. That's amazing. That's amazing.
No, yeah.
And we have a free mindful breath audio on our Instagram. That's a great place, I believe, to get started, to even just begin to develop a relationship with your breath. Because the thing is, most of us don't even think about our breathing from day to day. You're not thinking about, you know, consciously thinking about, okay, I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out. It happens automatically, right? And so just, you know, doing a mindful breath audio that we have, or some sort of breath awareness, and I'll actually talk a little bit more about that in a second, is going to be a really great start. However, if you have the intention of clearing some really deep traumas,
right,
if you have, you know, really high anxiety, or you're moving through a really challenging time, I would highly recommend working with a certified breathwork facilitator. So you have that guidance, you have that safety, and you have that support. So I think that's really important to mention. Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to, if you're just wanting to, you know, feel better, feel lighter, maybe move through some, you know, move through some energy, and some emotions, breath awareness is a great place to start. And simply breath awareness is just becoming aware of your breath. So just start by, and you can even just like put a reminder in your phone, whether it's like once, maybe three times a day of like, you know, notice how you're breathing right now. And just that alone, just really pausing, closing your eyes, and just noticing the natural rhythm of your breath. And you might start to, I think you're going to learn a lot about yourself just by doing that. You might be like, oh, wow, like I hold my breath a lot throughout the day. Or wow, I'm breathing really, really fast. Let me take a deep breath. Or like, oh, okay. Like, and you will start to notice the shifts over time. The beautiful thing about breath awareness is that naturally, just by becoming aware of how you're breathing, you'll watch your breath naturally start to deepen. Mm-hmm. And that has incredible benefits for your nervous system, for your energy, for your emotions. So I always say, start with the basics. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go into like a full breathwork journey to experience the benefits of the breath. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're about to say something.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I just piggyback off Jessica, like with particularly the reset breathwork method or holotropic, I would just say, or three part, like the long form, intense breathwork. I really would recommend doing it in a group, doing it with some people that you know, hiring a facilitator. Got three great ones on this call right now. And so that you can be harbored and anchored and have some awareness of what the expectations are. And what I would say to watch out for is if you're in a breathwork class where you're going to be going in a deep journey and the facilitator does not drop or let you know about the expectations, I hate saying this, but be wary of that person because there is quite a few things that can happen. And we talked for 15 minutes about it. And there are a few other things as well. And it's so important as a newbie, a beginner in this deep work, to know what to expect in order for you to feel safe to go deep. Because there's nothing wrong about all these things that we talked about that are going to happen. And they all go back to normal at the end anyway. So you might as well breathe, right? But if you don't have somebody that has the awareness to drop at least some of those expectations, that can be a little bit of a flag for me. And I would also say too, when it comes to looking for a breathwork facilitator, look for somebody who's certified, look for somebody who's at least gone through something before you pull the plug on it, because this is a very hot topic right now. And a lot of people are calling themselves breathwork facilitators. And I'm sorry, they're just not. They're just not. They took a weekend course. They learned a few things and now they're taking people through deep transformative experiences. And it does worry me, which is one of the reasons why me and Jessica created our breathwork teacher training facilitations, because we knew we could really create an environment for high level facilitators to come out of.
Yeah. And if you guys want to hear anything about that, I have an entire episode on it if you haven't already listened. And I also have an episode on just breathwork in general. So if you guys want to know about more of the things to expect, I covered them all there too. But we have about 10 more minutes. Jess, Corey, I really want to hit two topics if we can, if we have time, but we want to respect your time, of course. These are just topics that I didn't talk about in those other episodes because I just am not fully confident in doing so yet when it relates to the breath. Mm-hmm. So let's first go into abundance, money, scarcity. Like, we get asked about that a lot. And Mary and I have for sure had massive shifts and breakthroughs transitioning from scarcity into abundance. And we've seen that in our lives, but we haven't yet fully dove into like how that works because we're still on our journeys with it. So I want to know from your guys' perspective, like, how does our internal environment reflect our financial situations and how can the breath help us shift that?
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a great question and a really, really important one. And when it comes to, what's happening in our internal environment and then how does that get reflected into our external reality? I think I want to start by saying that a lot of times people take the approach, especially to money, but really this goes for anything that you desire to create in your life. We often take the approach of external and then internal, mm-hmm. hoping that if we just think our way through it, if we just, try to do a budget or we, once we get into that relationship, then we're going to feel, we're going to feel good. Or we're going to feel love. Or we're going to feel connection. We want to look outside of us and try to change our external environment in hopes that we're going to feel more love, more freedom, more abundance, more peace, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And with the breath, we take an opposite approach, is we heal from the inside out. You shift your reality from the inside out. And so we start with the emotions. So what is it? What's really underneath having more money? So someone may, a client may say, like, hey, I really want to make more money. I want to, you know, make more money in my business. I want to make more money for the year. I want to be able to save more, invest more, whatever it is. And actually, interestingly enough, we did have a private client of ours who worked for a wealth management firm.
Yeah.
So she was all like, she knew way more than we did at the time when it came to wealth management.
It wasn't just like any wealth management firm. You had to have $1 million in order to start with her.
Right.
So, yeah.
So she was, and this was her background. This is what she, you know, she did, you know, and, you know, this is what her degree was in, right? Yet she came to us wanting to manifest more money and clear out her debt, right? Because it doesn't matter what you know, unless you can feel it in your body. Mm-hmm. And so really when a client comes to say like, I want to make more money. Okay, great. What, like, why is that important to you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Why is that important to you? And we get so clear and dig so deep down to what is the why, and the why that has an emotion attached to it.
Because it ended up having nothing to do with what she knew and her education status and her savviness as a business owner and all those things. It was a relationship with her mother. And the patterns that she started to become aware of through the breath, not only of herself, but of her mother, the way her mother spent, the way her mother saved, the way that her mother shared wealth, like shared abundance. And it became so, like, so present for her that she was finally able to make a shift. Cause I think for a lot of people around abundance, they want more money, but like you said, they don't even know how or where to start. There's nothing to take action on necessarily. And a lot of it has to do with your own internal framework. So until you start opening that up, it's really difficult to move the needle.
Right. So for this particular client, she was realizing how much she was constantly spending, just spending. And what was really underneath that is that she was not fully present with herself. There was an avoidance, a not really mindfulness and presence with herself and with her money. So that's what we got to work on with the breath, is just simply being more present. And that's what she ultimately wanted. Mm-hmm. And when she shifted that, where she was like, I'm so present with who I am and my decisions and how I show up in my relationship with my partner, with my mother, that's when everything shifted for her. That's when you shift the internal, you shift the external. Mm-hmm. And we actually just reached out to her recently because she had set a 1-year goal of, I'm going to be debt free. And she had a lot of debt to pay off. Mm-hmm. We reached out to her in May and she was, I am completely debt free. And not only am I debt free of tens of thousands of dollars, I just bought my ultimate dream car and I just bought a home with my fiance.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Chills.
Yeah. Incredible.
And I think too, like, there are probably people listening, cause I've experienced this and I'll tie it into the breath, obviously, but there are people who do shift things externally to create financial abundance. I've seen it happen. I know some people who have done that, but here's the difference, is that they work hard and they budget, you know, to get out of debt or to save a bunch of money, to be secure. Those people never actually feel abundance. They never feel overflow, which really, that's all of our goals. And that's why they're never happy. That's why they keep chasing a higher number and budgeting more and chasing a higher number. And that's why they are still tight with their money, right? Like, I know people in my family who are tight AF with their money and it's no fun, but it's because, and they have all this money, but they don't feel abundant. They don't feel safe. They don't feel that innate overflow that all of us desire and have deep within. And that's where the breath comes in, right? Like, that the breath helps us feel those things. And our listeners know it's not a win then game. It's not when I get the money, then I'll feel abundant. It's when I feel abundance, when I feel overflow, when I feel safety, when I feel security, then the, you know, the finances.
And look at the evidence. Yes. Like, look at people who win the lottery.
Yeah.
What is the percentage rate? You used to know the percentage rate of people that win the lottery and then within 5 years, they're mm-hmm. back to the same financial footprint that mm-hmm. they wouldn't start with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's right in front of your face. It has nothing to do with the money. It has to do with your association with it mm-hmm. and what's internally happening with you. Cause I agree with you, Sarah, that like people in your family, it sounds like they're chasing things that really aren't satisfying, or mm-hmm. they're sticking to things that they think will create some kind of feeling for them, but it doesn't. Right. And so they're chasing that, like yeah. going in circles. I truly feel like as human beings, we have to set up the rules of life or our own game of life in a way in which we're chasing things in which we desire. Like we all are the donkeys with the carrot in front of us, but pick the carrot. What kind of carrot do you want in front of you? Yeah. And for us, it really comes from the inside out. It comes right. from how I want to feel, how I want to experience life rather than the number that's sitting in my bank account.
Yeah. Okay. Families, let's go there. Like last thing we'll talk
about. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I want to know, because once again, so we're asked two things and you guys speak on whatever feels aligning and maybe you can tie them both in, but we're always asked like, okay, I'm on the journey. My partner isn't. How do I get them on? Or how do I explain what I'm doing to them? That's like the main one main question. The other one is like, I'm on this journey. My family isn't. I don't feel like I can connect with my mom or my dad, but like, I don't want to lose them. I want them in my life. I can't connect with my family anymore. Like, what do I do? So obviously that's a huge question, but if you guys have just like any, you know, quick tips or like any profound realizations that you've had with your family to share, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
I want to dive deeper into that second question. And because this is so alive for us right now, we're so deeply present with this
yeah.
because we have been on a spiritual journey, a personal transformation, self-development journey for about 20 years combined. Right. And we know this feeling very well, where being on this journey, you know, you're going to lose people along the way. I'm not going to deny that. Like, you're going to lose some relationships, or they're going to shift and they're going to change mm-hmm. and not everyone is going to come with you. And that can be a harsh reality sometimes, because we want to bring people with us. We want the friends that we've had for many years to really get it and to experience the transformation that we're experiencing. But sometimes whether they're not ready or they're not open to it, or they're going through their own process. It's just not right now for them. And what can happen is sometimes I imagine like that, whether, you know, whoever it is, whether it's your partner or a parent who doesn't really quite get it. And they're in this cocoon, mm-hmm. they're in their cocoon. And what can happen is, because we're experiencing this incredible transformation and we want them to do it too, and we just want, if we can just tell them what to do, they can change too. What we're doing is we're ripping open that cocoon and we're trying to force them out of it. Mm-hmm. What happens if you were to do that? If you just ripped open this cocoon and then expect this butterfly to fly,
it would die. Yeah.
And when I first heard that analogy, it was just like this,
yeah,
mind blowing moment for me, where I realized that even though I had the best of intentions, is that I was potentially forcing these things upon other people and ripping them out of their cocoon, and they just weren't prepared for it. And they weren't going to receive it in the same way and fly like I was at that time. And I got really present to that. Actually, we just both took a trip back to the Midwest. Both of our families are originally from the Midwest. Corey's family is from Minnesota and mine are from Wisconsin. And both of us, we actually kind of fled the nest very early on in our lives. Like, we were like, okay, experiencing all this growth.
Yeah,
and
we really similar that way.
Yeah. I mean, like, I got the hell out of there. I went to California and I was just kind of living my own life and really didn't connect with my family too often, because I felt like, oh, well, they don't get it. And the thing is I actually robbed them and myself of the opportunity of connection, because I just kind of wrote it off as like, they just don't understand. And I didn't even really take the time to maybe explain it to them in a way that they would understand, or really just share pieces of my journey so that we could at least create some micro connection. Mm-hmm. And so for both of us, we did that kind of in our own way. And we both had resistance coming back to the Midwest, to whether it was for a holiday or for a birthday or, you know, some sort of trip back to the Midwest. We often resisted it and we're like, oh, like, you know, like,
we're such
snooty
Californians.
Yeah, I feel like they
we don't live there anymore, guys. We're yeah. in Austin, Texas.
But they maybe don't really fully understand.
Yeah.
And So for like a very specific example is like, you know, we're entrepreneurs, we're business owners. And it was very hard to, I felt, to explain this to my family because they all are working 9 to 5s. Mm-hmm. My mother, as long as I can remember, has been working 4 jobs where she barely sleeps. She's going from one job to the next and hustling to make money, has been penny pinching. And I removed myself from that environment for a very good reason because it was not a good influence for me. Mm-hmm. However, I knew eventually I have to, you know, I get to repair that and create a new type of connection. Eventually I can't avoid it forever. Mm-hmm. And that's what this trip really showed me. And actually for the last couple of months, I've been sharing more openly with my mother about how well we're doing in our business, really just being transparent and being really open with her, mm-hmm. You know, about this and the amount of freedom that we have and things that we're able to do. And I could tell it was like really inspiring her. And that's really all I strive for, was just let me inspire her rather than let me try to get her to change.
Yeah.
And over time, she was starting to think about, well, what if I started my own business? And one of the companies that she worked for was a cleaning company. Mm-hmm. And she is like one of like the most, actually the most, requested cleaners in the company. Everyone's like, I want Sandra. Like she needs to come clean my house. She needs to come clean my Airbnb. And so we encourage her like, hey, just a gentle nudge of like, hey, what if you branch off and did your own thing? You are so good and so in demand. Like, what would it look like? And she thought about it and part of me was like, oh, I'm not sure if she would do it, but it was just holding that vision and a possibility for her.
Yeah.
Without forcing. And can be so hard because you want the best for other people, especially when you love them so much. But she ended up like really sitting with that. We kept having multiple conversations. And over time she was like, I'm going to do it. Like, can you help me write like an email? Can you help me with this? And I was like, whoa, okay, this is really going somewhere. And again, I never, ever thought that I would be having these kinds of conversations with my mom.
Yeah.
And now she just opened up her own cleaning company in June. And she's
kicking ass,
like absolutely killing it and crushing it, making more money than she has ever seen in her life.
In her life.
Oh my gosh.
Like more money in 1 month than like she could ever make hustling 4 jobs.
Wow.
And she's sent in 2 resignation letters to 2 of her jobs. She's holding on to 1, which I get. She's like really just building this thing up. And we're having conversations that I never thought we would have before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
That I think we'd be talking in this way mm-hmm. and connecting in this way. And so did it take a while? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it came from just planting possibilities and coming back to love.
Yeah.
Coming back to love. Mm-hmm. And that's what this trip in the Midwest really opened us up to, was just surrendering to love. Can you really just accept the person in front of you? Because I kept saying like, oh, I accept my mom and I accept the things that happened in my childhood growing up. But did I really?
Yeah.
And for the first time, like truly deep in my bones, I accepted my mother for who she was.
Wow.
And our relationship is forever changed. Yeah. And I'm so excited to see where it goes. Like, I'm so thrilled to talk to her mm-hmm. versus being I don't really, my mom's calling. Okay. Yeah. I don't really want to talk right now. And it's going to take down my vibe and my energy. And I don't want that. I got to set a boundary. And it's like, yeah. I so look forward to it now.
Yeah. I hope your audience sees what Jessica just did there. She walked you through it. And at the end, she set up the rules and the framework for her game and what carrot she was going to dangle in front of her. And she wants to go after that carrot now.
Yeah.
And that's how you get to set up your body and your mind. Like we're animals, right? Like we have to create reward systems for ourselves in between the relationships that we have. Mm-hmm. And so of course, like time, energy, space, like boundaries, like all those things. And what is the possibility that you're trying to create in this relationship?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to note too, because I know this will come up for you. Like, I love that analogy. Like you can't rip the caterpillar or whatever out of the cocoon. You can't, but like what I saw there is like, you can kind of help them grow while they're in it. And then they'll break out in their own time. Right. Because like we're not going to go here just because of time, but my boyfriend and I, like he was absolutely not on this journey at all when we got into a relationship, and I love him so much. And this journey of growth, personal development, evolvement, like just getting like growing bigger and bigger, expanding is super important to me too. And I love that. And that's like kind of how I put, you know, people say put God first. Like that's me putting God first. It's like, it's so important to me. And so I'm made that clear to him, and it became very clear to me that I couldn't rip him out of the cocoon. It didn't work. It led to fights and arguments and bickerments, but it's like, I definitely, like Jess, that you did with your mom, I was able to get to this point where I could help him, you know, grow within the cocoon. And I would say that he's like starting to break out of it, and then we're going to, you know, fly together. Mm-hmm. So that is so beautiful. Thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that with us.
Yeah, such a good story. So inspirational. And that's mm-hmm. to me, yeah, the biggest takeaway is instead of forcing that change onto someone, then they can take it like you're judging me or you're not loving me as I am. But coming from that place of love, that place of inspiration, like this is what's possible. Mm-hmm. Do what you want to do. I'm going to love you no matter what, but this is what's possible. And how amazing that your mom has taken action on that. That is so cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so thrilled for her. I'm so excited for her. And, I'm so excited to see where the relationship goes. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, yeah, you can't force it upon somebody, but you're holding the possibility for them. Right. You said, Mary, okay. And you never know where that can lead. And the key there is patience, because yeah. It might not happen right away, but it might click in a year. It might click in 2 years. It might click in 10. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Nope. That's absolutely beautiful. Sarah, do you have any other last questions? I feel like we've hit our time. And like we said, we want to be respectful of your time, but this has been incredible. Like I know I can speak for my audience when I say thank you so much for taking the time to come chat with us, share your expertise when it comes to breathwork. Mm-hmm. There were a million takeaways from this episode. I know this is one that I'm going to want to listen to over and over again. So thank you so much for being here. Do you want to share before we go, just where people can find you? If you have any trainings coming up, any details that you're willing or, you know, want to share?
Absolutely. We would love to. And thank you for opening up the space, and thank you for having us on. Mm-hmm. Some of the main ways that you can work with us, I would say as a starter, if you're brand new to breathwork, like I mentioned, there is a link in our bio to download a free mindful breath audio. So that's a great place to start if you are new to the breath, to experience some relaxation and also really just become aware of your breathing. So start there, and you'll be added to our mailing list so you can get future updates and other, you know, inspiration, other tools and tips along the way on your journey. And then also if you're like, hey, I want to dive deep, maybe I've already experienced a little bit of breathwork before, or you're
if you want to be like Corey.
You're somebody like Corey who is like, I'm just gonna go right in the frickin' fire.
Yes.
If you're like, hey, this sounds amazing and I'm so ready for this, if you're freaking ready, we have a reset breathwork immersion. So this is like the ultimate reset for your life. It's an 8-week group program. It's very intimate. We only take 10 people at a time so that you're really fully seen and heard and understood. You get deep and like deep coaching from us and connection with the group. And so the next one is starting September 16th. So that round is coming up this fall. We only offer it twice a year. So it's really a combination of breath work, of coaching, and of mindset work so you can fully integrate into your daily life. And the thing is that it's different than going to just a breathwork class where, hey, I go to 60 minute class, I come out, I feel good, but then I kind of go back to my day to day. This does not happen in the immersion. You're really focusing on integrating and immersing yourself in the work. So that's when Corey was saying, hey, people feel like they come out and they're like, I don't even recognize myself. I feel like a completely different person. That's in our immersion program. You will not recognize yourself by the end of that program. So you actually really start to shift how you feel on a day-to-day basis. So not just, oh, I kind of feel free and I feel lighter and more peaceful after breath work, but I actually feel that with my bank account. I feel that in my relationship. I feel that with my friends. I feel that when I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. So that's the immersion program. And then if you're like, hey, I have experienced breath work before and I've experienced massive breakthroughs with it, like Sarah, you were like, hey, like I've done breathwork before. This has changed my life. How do I become a facilitator so that I can help other people change their lives? We have our teacher training program. And again, Sarah, you talk all about that in that episode, which I love. And thank you for really capturing your journey and your experience as best as you could. I mean, like, it's so hard to put into words, but over the 8 weeks that you moved through the program with us. So if you want to become a certified facilitator, we have our next teacher training coming up, which is around the same time as the immersion. They actually overlap. So it starts September 11th and that goes until November 7th. So most of it's online, and then there's an in-person graduation. So you really kind of get the best of both worlds, learning how to facilitate online and in person. And we go really deep into the science, which is a big thing that makes this program unique. A lot of teacher training programs, you don't learn and have a deep understanding of the body, of emotions, of the neuroscience. You kind of just learn, okay, what do I do when I just have somebody in front of me? And that's kind of it. So most people don't feel ready. They don't feel ready to hold space for this deep inner work. So that all of that information is on our website, thehealingcouple.com, or you can go to our Instagram, which is thehealingcouple_. Feel free to reach out to us, send us a message, say hello, let us know what in this episode really resonated with you. We just love connecting with community. And even if you're just kind of curious and want to learn more about any of these programs, do not hesitate to reach out to us.
Yeah. And we will link all of those in the show notes as well. So yeah, like Mary was saying, thank you guys for being here. Our listeners, our audience is just going to absolutely love this. It's so nice to like have you guys here. They've heard so much about you. So it's nice to like have you here speaking to them. And there's just so much value packed in this episode. So thank you guys so deeply for being here.
You're so welcome.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having us. It's such a treat.
Of course.
Amazing.
All right, guys, go check out The Healing Couple on all of the things. And we will talk to you next week in our next episode of the Her Vibe is Pretty podcast. Bye.
Bye.